and we're back. This is episode 49 of the Taproom Podcast. I'm your host, Mike. Been a lazy Sunday, but actually, you know, had a really fun weekend. Friday, got to go hang out with my buddy Mario, hang out with the kids and stuff like that. And then yesterday, I got to go record a new segment, What's New at Noble. And then watch the Packers lose. That was kind of tough. But, I mean, you know, they're a young team. It was really fun. You know, they played a hell of a game for considering how, you know, how young they are. But this episode 49, is with Jenna Milo, also known as it's like Orlando, but it's ORL Beer Babe on Instagram. So it's Instagram's pilot episode. So we kind of talk about everything, you know, the craft beer scene in Orlando and her being like a, being a stewardess, being, you know, traveling and stuff like that, finding breweries, you know, across the country, all that sort of stuff. So we had a good time. But this episode, yeah, is kind of with the What's New at Noble, because we recorded, we went a little long, but it was so fun. We went about 45 minutes. I think this is kind of like a double episode, pretty much. So it'll be about a little, you know, about an hour and 40 probably with the intro. But yeah, really fun. You know, got to talk with Jimmy. Paul was there. Paul hadn't been on an episode since, I think, when Noble was on. I think that was episode 7, I think. But yeah, we had a blast. We had a really good time, you know, talking about their new, like, they had 4 new beers out this week. So they had 2 seltzers, which we'll talk about on the show. One of them I'm going to have on here for the brewski. And then they also had a hazy and a Mexican style lager. That really, everything was been really good though. But yeah, so we had a good time with that. Today, got to go pick up some beers for next week's episode. Over at Louis Liquor on Foothill and Cerritos and Azusa. But yeah, so let's jump into the first brewski, the seltzer. So it is it's called Black Sands. It's actually drawn, the can artwork was done by Tiki Tony. You know, obviously he's really, you know, big in like the tiki industry. And it's a collab that they did with Stowaway Tiki, which is in Orange County. It's a tiki bar. This one, I wanted to do this one because this is Cam's like first one he did by himself, I want to say, because I think we talked about that on the, during the What's New at Noble segment. But it was, man, it was probably one of the most, and I think I say it on there, it's one of the most unique seltzers I've ever seen, like the color wise. It's just kind of, it's crazy, like how they put together all these different flavors. So I'm going to go ahead and crack her open here. And this, they comes in at 10%. But yeah, it's really great can of work. I can't wait to get some photos with that stuff. So let's go ahead and give her a pour. Oh yeah, that's good stuff. There we go. All right, let's jump in. Oh, excuse me. Oh man, that's delicious. It, like I said, it is really unique looking. It has like guava, lime juice. Like it's so fruity on the nose, but it's not like thick or anything like that. And it's got the color of it. Like I said, it's super unique. It's like a greenish kind of color. And when you first pour it, you're like, man, what is this? But man, it is so, so good. And I feel like I haven't given out a big fat 10 in a while, and I know I don't do a ton of seltzers on the show, but this one just really pops. So I think, and you all know where I'm going with this, I'm gonna give this a big fat 10 for sure. So definitely, if you're in the area and you've never been to Noble, or if you're into like Disney stuff too, because they like the all the stuff that they're doing all reminds me of like the Enchanted Tiki Room. So definitely check them out. Even if you're not a beer person, go down there and try their seltzers. They always sell out quick. So if you have the chance to get on down there, okay? All right. Well, I don't want to go too long in this intro, but I do want to talk, you know, a little bit of football. The Ravens won. They looked pretty damn good against the Texans. Early on, it seemed like the Texans were moving the ball, but couldn't quite punch it into the end zone. Also, obviously, the Packers lost. Like I said, it's always, you know, never easy to lose, but you know, it, you know, just a game, it happens, and they'll be back next year, and they got a, like I said, a really young team. The Raiders hired Pierce this week. So, I mean, I think that's a solid pickup. I mean, for all the Raider fans out there, I mean, I feel like he was doing really good things with the team toward, like, you know, after he took over, and they were really, you know, wanting him to stay on as the head coach. So that's pretty awesome. So good for him. Another thing, Harbaugh and Belichick both are kind of seems like they're both had second interviews with the Falcons. Wasn't really sure if that would be like the job that they would want, but hey, I mean, you know, if they're willing to, you know, to do that, and I know the Falcons are a young team too, so maybe like an underachieving team. So, I mean, we'll see how that plays out, but I mean, I'm excited to kind of see where everything goes. What else we got this week? I think that's all I got. I mean, I know we have some couple playoff games today, so I'll make my picks. It's, the Lions and the Bucks. I think the Lions win that game. And then we have the Bills Chiefs. Bills are the favorite, but I mean, it just kind of seems like the Chiefs just kind of turn it on sometimes, but I'm still going to go Buffalo. I think this is the year that Josh Allen gets over the hump and beats Mahomes in the playoffs. So that should be pretty good. Want to say, you know, oh, I'll actually talk about it, the outro for episode 50. But yeah, so we're going to jump in with Jen and Milo, and then I will come back in between the What's New and Noble segment. Enjoy.
All right, guys, I'm your host, Mike, and we're back in the tap room, and I have a very special guest on today. It's an Instagram Spotlight episode with Jenna. Also, and how are you doing today?
I'm good. How about yourself?
I'm doing well, thank you. Could you give us your Instagram handle and where we could find you on Instagram?
Yeah, on Instagram, it's at ORL Beer Babe, like Orlando Beer Babe.
Awesome. And I was trying to think, I was like, well, how am I going to pronounce that?
Yeah, it's okay.
And then I was like, yeah, I'll just have her say it for me. But yeah, so let's go by having you on because, I mean, you wanted to be able to talk. I mean, I like to talk to people, especially across the country, like, you know, in the different, you know, different parts of the country, to kind of learn about, you know, the craft beer scene in their cities or in their states, stuff like that. So you being from Orlando, could you tell us how you, what the craft beer scene is like out there?
Yeah. So I'm born and raised in Orlando, which I feel like is probably an anomaly nowadays. Mm-hmm. So growing up here, I feel like the craft beer scene has really kind of expanded in the last like 5 years or so, I would say. And Orlando, contrary to popular belief, is more than just Disney World, and it's pretty huge. So in the several different areas, I feel like it's just really been growing. And I mean, we probably have like 30 different breweries now, which is super exciting. So we'll see what this year has in store for us.
That's awesome. And do you have a beer from one of those breweries, or do you have a beer with you?
I have a beer with me. The beer is actually from Tampa, but it's what I had in my fridge right now. And I've been wanting to try it, so I saved it for today. It's from Woven Water in Tampa.
Oh, I think I've had one from Woven Water, but it was a while back. I've heard they've had really, I want to say it wasn't a sour. Maybe it was like a Pilsner or something, but I remember it being really good.
Yeah, they have incredible sours and smoothie sours, and they're my favorite. So this one is a blackberry marshmallow cinnamon coffee sour ale.
Oh, wow. That was a mouthful, huh,
on that one? Yes.
That's awesome. So have you ever been to Woven Water?
I have, yes.
Oh, nice. Mm-hmm. What's the brewery like?
It's kind of like this bottle. It's a little dark and mysterious, so... Okay. But it's pretty cool. We went last, I want to say like 4 months ago. So, yeah.
That's cool. That's awesome. Should we crack them open?
Yeah, I'm ready. What do you have?
This one I'm drinking is called Steel Low. It's like a Mexican lager.
Okay.
And it's a collaboration kind of beer. So there's this like lowrider kind of group that's out, I guess, out in L.A. And they it's a car club. And they do, like, and they did, like, a collaboration with Brew Yard Brewing in Eagle Rock.
Cool.
In near Los Angeles. So we're going to crack it open here. There we go. Hopefully I didn't do too hard of a pour because I think I foamed up pretty good there.
It's okay. Mine is kind of foamy right now, too. The This one has an interesting color.
Yeah, this one's it's pretty crystal clear on this one. Except for the large head that I got going on here.
Mine has like red and brown hues, I guess, with the blackberry and coffee in it.
Okay. Nice.
But it smells really good.
Nice. Well, cheers.
Cheers.
Good to meet you.
You as well.
Well, that's some good stuff.
The cinnamon really comes through in this one with the coffee. It's actually pretty good.
Oh, nice. Was there like a, do you remember like, cause like, well, when did you get into craft beer? We'll start with that.
Okay. So, I would probably say I really became interested in 2015. But in college, my friend and I living together, a World of Beer was across the street. So I would say that was kind of like my first kind of introduction into, wow, there's a lot of beers out there. So I feel like that's kind of when I started to like dip my toes in and realize there's more than just, you know, pilsners or lagers. And then I was like, oh, IPAs, what are those?
Yeah.
Yeah. So I think through just like trying a variety of stuff through World of Beer got me really interested. And then in 2015, I became a flight attendant. And I think that's really kind of when my whole world started expanding. And I got to fly around to different cities and I would go to different breweries on my layovers. And I feel like the pilots were always into beer. So if you wanted to go out and do something, they're like, you know, let's go to a brewery. And I was like, all right, I'm down.
That's awesome. I mean, it sounds like the perfect job because then, you can, you know, hit up every brewery and, you know, every other place because I'm sure there's quite a few layovers you would get, right?
Yeah, exactly. So sometimes layovers were short, but I mean, if you had at least 12 hours, you know, you're free to go out and do whatever. So that was always fun. And then especially like on the longer ones, like if you got 24 hours, you were super lucky because you could just have a whole day.
Oh, that's cool. Did you ever go to like out of the country, like to London or Germany or any of those?
I've been on my own free time, like for leisure. The airline that I was working for at the time was a regional, so we weren't flying internationally. Gotcha. And then I moved to a different airline, and then that airline predominantly did like domestic and some South America and a lot of Caribbean, but on my own benefits, I was definitely, and I still do travel a lot.
Okay.
That's awesome.
I mean, I feel like that would be like going to like London or Germany, like to go into like to some of those older breweries would just be so amazing.
Yeah. We actually went to London last February. So a year ago, that was my first time there and we really enjoyed it.
Oh, nice. Did you, how were the beers out there? Because I know like a lot of theirs are, they're a lot lighter. They're like usually like, you know, 3-4% so you can drink them all day, essentially. Yeah.
Yeah. So the beers were different. We tried a lot of cask ales, which was that kind of my first time having a cask ale. We ended up doing a beer tour in, I'm going to butcher the name, but in the Bermondsey district. So it's like a mile long strip of, I mean, probably at least 20 breweries and tap rooms in one place. So we tried a lot of cask ales and there was like a Cicerone guy that ran the whole thing who gave us like a whole educational experience. So that was pretty awesome.
That's cool. I mean, yeah. I'm sure that was probably, you know, just a blast being able to, you know, to go see places like that and do something like that. Was there a specific beer? Because I know everybody had their kind of like their one beer that they tried and they're like, oh man, this is the one that did it for me. This has made me feel like, oh, I want to drink or to find more of these, these types of beers. Was there one for you, like a craft beer that was like that?
Oh, I'm trying to think. I really love sour beers and I like anything that's like really unique or funky or like uses like uncommon ingredients.
Okay.
So my favorite sour, I would think, like if I had to pick one, there's one from Tactical Brewing here in Orlando and it's called Pho Show and it's like a play on a like Vietnamese pho sour.
Oh,
and
wow.
It's like really herbaceous and a little bit spicy and like I just love like the umami kind of flavors of it. Wow. So I know. And then I was like, I want to find more like this.
That's cool, because I've never heard of something like that. I feel like there's so many different breweries out there now that are always like, they're just always coming up with something different. Like, you know, and the brewers are like, you know, coming up with these, especially like in different areas too. Like I've talked to, you know, some people in Hawaii, and they're like, oh, they're doing these like different kind of like almost because there's a candy from Hawaii called Lihimoi. And it's like a, you know, it's like a plum, like a dried plum, but they, you know, the kind of flavors that they would use for the Lihimoi powder into like, so like all these regional style beers because of all the regional style, either like candy or things or like food in that area, stuff like that. I find that fascinating.
Yeah. I'm obsessed with seeking out new things to try and just like different kind of ingredients. Talking about Hawaii, I am actually going to the Big Island for the first time on Monday, next Monday. So really soon. Awesome. I'm like really stoked.
Well, I'll talk to my buddy that's out there, and I'm sure you've probably looked up other breweries, but, I'll hit him up and I'll see if there's any that you should definitely hit up.
Okay. Yeah. I'll take all the recommendations. I'm really excited because it'll be my first time in Hawaii. So
awesome. That's cool. Do you have any favorite like breweries out in Orlando or in your area?
Yeah, a lot. First, Orlando is very vast, and it's kind of like Orange County is an enormous county and has kind of different little like pockets of Orlando. So I don't know how to like simplify my selections, but some of my favorites, like in the heart of Orlando, would probably be Hourglass Brewing, Tactical Brewing, which I mentioned with that faux show, sour, Ivanhoe Brewing, Sideward. I could keep naming like Bogans.
That's okay.
Yeah. And then in some of the kind of like outer pockets of Orlando, there's like another area called Sanford, and there's a brewery out there called Deviant Wolf that I really like as well.
Okay. That sounds, I mean, they all sound really good. Are there any like specific beers from those ones that you've had that have been kind of interesting or things like that?
Last night I was at Bogans, and we had a peanut butter Hefeweizen that I really liked. And over Christmas, there was one from Hourglass that had, it was like a Goza that had Earl Grey tea in it and like rosehip. And that one was like really light and floral, and I liked it.
Okay. That peanut butter Hef sounds interesting, like an interesting combination for sure.
Yeah, it was really good. Well, I like peanut butter, so
okay.
It was delicious, and like kind of like the banana notes being Hefeweizen was nice, so it paired well together.
Nice. That sounds pretty darn good.
Yeah, we were out there. It was my husband's birthday, and another Orlando beer Instagrammer we know runs trivia there. So we all kind of went out and just did like a low key birthday, which is fun. And our team won. We took third, so I was happy about that. We got a gift card. So I'll take it.
That's awesome. Are there like any, like what are the breweries in it? Because you rambled off quite a few there, but are there ones like any of those ones that you're like, if someone was going to be in Orlando for a day, which one should they go to?
So I guess it kind of depends where they're staying, because some of these are literally like 40 minutes apart. But if you're staying in like the downtown heart of Orlando, I would say definitely try to go to Hourglass. Try to go to Rock Pit is like in the heart, and Ivanhoe Brewing would be my top three. And if you're like kind of coming here to go to Disney World, which I would assume most people are coming here for, you're closer to like the west side of Orlando. So like Winter Garden and Home State Brewing would be one of my recommendations out there.
Awesome. And in your travels with the, obviously being a flight attendant, are there any breweries out there that you've been to, like in the different cities where like, man, like if I was going to go back to one place, it'd be that one.
Yeah. So some of my favorites, I was actually based in Boston for a bit. So Trillium is really high on my list in Boston.
I bet.
Trillium's great, especially for a sour gosa lover. And then I lived in Pittsburgh for a while. I was based there. Grist House, Cinderland Brewing, Strange Roots Experimental Ales. Those are like my three in Pittsburgh. And then in Asheville, I love Burial.
Okay. Is that Asheville, North Carolina?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Oh, nice. I've been out there once, but I think I've never, this is way before I got really into like craft beer. Cause I mean, I was into it when I was younger, but I mean, then I kind of veered off that path and started drinking whiskey for a long time.
Oh, okay.
but I was in, I used to go to Fayetteville pretty often.
Okay.
To visit my sister who lived out there cause her husband was in the army.
Okay.
Well, we go to like Beef O'Brady's and they always had good craft beer on tap. So I would try that place.
I'm shocked.
Yeah.
Beef O'Brady's had good beer on tap.
Yeah. But then again, that was also in like 2012.
Gotcha.
So it was a while ago.
That's funny.
Yeah. I mean, there's always any time I go somewhere now. And that's one of the reasons why I like doing this and talking to people like you as well. Because then we can, you know, if somebody's like going to say like, oh, I'm going to go to Orlando, where should I hit up? They can listen to this episode and then be like, yeah, well, now I know where to go. And,
yeah, know, definitely.
The different places around.
I tried, well, and I still do try, like, to, you know, keep track of all the breweries and tappers and stuff that I visited, like, all over the country. And my husband and I use this, but it's like a sad little app that probably no one uses anymore, called Swarm. I don't know if you've heard of it.
I don't think I've heard of that one, no.
It's literally just to check in, I guess, kind of like Untappd, but you get, yeah, similarly, you get little badges and stuff, but you can check in like at any sort of like venue or restaurant or whatever. But then I'm able to like look back and see all my little pins like around the US and just try to keep tabs on like all these places that I've been to. I feel like we're over, oh my God, probably over the hundreds now.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
Yeah. And it's cool that like, obviously clearly like your husband's into it too. I mean,
yeah.
Being able to have that kind of, you know, just being able to know that like, it's like, cause you know, sometimes if the other person's not into it, they're like, oh, we're going to another brewery again this weekend.
Yeah, exactly.
So I'm sure that makes it a lot easier for you guys.
I could not imagine if we did not have this same shared interest in common, I would be devastated.
Yeah.
It definitely makes it easier.
Oh, for sure. I mean, you've been able to, you don't have to worry about, oh, is the other person bored or like, you know, trying to find something specifically for them,
yeah.
You know, to be able to enjoy it as well.
Exactly. It's like a no-brainer. And I'm a big planner. So he already knows that I'll take care of the list of all the things and places that I want to do.
That's awesome. Do you have, I was going to ask if, I mean, you might not have it in front of you, but, where you want to go first and well, first where you want to go to and when you go to the Big Island?
I think I Ola?
Okay.
O-L-A? Did I say it right?
I think so, yes.
That's on my list. I mean, I feel like Kona is a given. You like have to go.
Yeah.
And then there was another one. I can't remember its name. I could pull up my list though. It was called like Beer House or something. Let me see. I think Beer Brewing maybe was another one. Okay, I got my list. Hold on.
There you go.
Okay, so yeah, that Ola, Hilo Brewing, Big Island Brew House, and then there's a meadery, Big Island Meadery, that I want to go to.
Nice.
And oh no, I don't know how to pronounce this one. Wailuku? Wailuku Brewer?
Sounds right.
Sure, we'll go with that.
Yeah, sounds right to me. Oh, that's going to be so fun.
Yeah, we have like a bunch of activities planned, like doing the nighttime manta ray snorkel and ziplining over waterfalls and stuff like that. So
nice. Yeah, you should hit up. His name is Alexander.
Okay.
His Instagram is Aloha State Beer.
I think I follow them, actually, because I was trying to get inspiration. Yeah, or him.
Yeah, he's a really nice guy. I mean, and he's like, we've talked, you know, him and I talked for like hours about beer out there.
Really?
So, yeah, aww. So you definitely got to hit him up. He's a really, really good guy.
Okay, yeah, here. I do follow him, so I have it here.
Perfect. So our sours, is that's your favorite style of beer?
Yeah, so I like sours. I like farmhouse ales, wild farmhouse ales, saisons.
Nice.
Smoothie sours. Those are my jam.
Yeah, I was going to ask you if you like wild ales, because I always like wild ales too. Some of the saisons can be a little woo, but I love a good wild ale.
Yeah, I think my first introduction to them was probably when I lived in Pittsburgh, and I can't remember where we were, but somebody was like giving a whole tutorial about like Brettanomyces.
Oh yeah,
it was fascinating.
I love always hearing about like the technical, like the sciencey kind of terms to everything, because I always feel like, man, like that's like, it's so cool. Like I've only ever brewed once. And it was like, you know, with a buddy of mine who does home brewing, and it was just so fun. And you get to learn how like all the technical terms and all that sort of stuff. It's a blast.
Yeah. For Christmas, my parents have gotten me some sort of like home brewing kit from like, you know, wherever you can buy it online. So I don't know if I'm going to be any good at it, but we're going to try. It says it's going to make a sour, so we'll see.
There you go. I mean, it's like, perfect. Perfect too, especially you and your husband and being able to do that together. That sounds awesome.
Yeah, it's on my bucket list. So hopefully we don't fuck it up, but we'll see.
I know, you're fine. One thing I always love to ask people too is whenever I, you know, get to have a conversation like this is, are there any places, you know, kind of off the beaten path out there in Orlando that you would, you know, suggest if somebody's going to be out there where they should go?
Yeah. So, like I was kind of saying, Orlando's really spread out. So you'll definitely want a car if you're going to try to like go out and do anything around here, because there's really no public transportation that's any good. But we have like a lot of springs in Greater Orlando area. Yeah, so you can swim with the manatees and you can do stand up paddle boarding. Like when the manatees are in migration, you can see like 500 of them at a time.
Oh, wow.
So it's a really cool experience. And then there's like a lot of trails. You can go to Loop Gardens, which is downtown, and obviously, there's like a ton of breweries. Trying to think like what else would be a really cool experience for someone. Like another cool pocket of Orlando would be like Winter Park area, which is, we have like our own Park Ave and there's a bunch of restaurants. And I feel like Orlando's kind of on the foodie map now. Oh, we've got like Michelin Guide and Michelin Gourmand restaurants now. So it's just a lot more, I think, to Orlando than people would expect, because Disney is kind of its own separate world. Whatever they have going on.
Yeah. Stuff, right? I said with Epcot and all that, I'm sure it's crazy.
Yeah. And I feel like, well, I don't want to hurt the Disney's people feelings, but it's not really the true Orlando.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, that's cool though. I mean, that's what I mean. Anytime like you try to, like, you know, you're going somewhere, you're flying out somewhere, I'm always trying to find the places that are like, all right, where do the locals go? Not where, you know, not where the tourists are going. So.
Yeah, exactly. I would say kind of like that Ivanhoe area. Locals go out around what we call Mills 50. So those are all of our like areas to kind of like go out to a lounge or go to a like bottle shop and tap room. Orlando's all like doing events. I mean, I swear every day of the week, especially every weekend. Like they have something called the Orlando Parking Lot Party on Friday nights.
That sounds awesome.
Yeah. And it's like 30 food trucks show up, and usually like a brewery like Ivanhoe will hold it in their parking lot. So I feel like that's where you can find like the really good food and all the locals.
That's sounds good to me. It sounds like a parking lot party sounds like a great party, especially the, yeah, you know, a brewery.
It's fun. Place. And they always do like special events and like themed events. So, I mean, there's just, I have to pick and choose because I can't do it all.
Yeah. I mean, I bet. I mean, I know you probably got a ton going on, especially, you know, being a, you know, stewardess and all that sort of stuff too, right?
Yeah, so. Exactly.
I always love to ask too. I was going to ask about the best burger in Orlando, because that was, you know, that's one thing. Like, I'm such a huge burger guy. So anytime I go anywhere, I ask, where's the best burger? Because if I end up being there, I'm gonna seek that burger out. So,
okay, so best burger in Orlando that you can always go to and get a burger. I would say my favorite is a place called Swine and Sons. It's technically inside of another food-ish kind of hall called Milk House, and they have a smash burger called the OK Onion Smash. And they do 2 smash burgers on the patties with like all of the caramelized onions, and it's really good. But the best burger is from a pop-up called Speakeasy Burger. And like you can always find them at like the kind of like foodie fest, and they'll do pop-ups like at breweries and stuff. But the line, I swear to God, is like a mile long to get this burger. So like you know it's gonna be good because everybody in Orlando is waiting for it.
Oh man, that sounds, if I can find a place that just has a good burger, it's like, yeah, but I mean, it depends on how long the line is, but I'd still wait in it for sure.
Yeah, there have been a few times where we've just had to pass on it, even though it's so good, but the line is just outrageous.
I bet. If you're having a beer, what would you rather have, like burger, wings, tacos, or what do you prefer? Like, what's your favorite food pairing? Oh, hey, nothing wrong with that.
Yeah, I'm a pizza girly for sure. And there's some really good pizza in Orlando, too.
Okay. And are they thin crust, thicker crust, or what do you prefer?
My favorite style is Detroit-style pizza.
Okay. Detroit-style pizza is good because it's like light and fluffy, but it's still thick, but it looks really good.
Yeah, but it's like a cloud with cheesy, crusty edges around it.
That does sound pretty amazing.
So good.
I might have to look up some pizza tonight, probably, after this beer.
Yeah. So Detroit-style pizza, and then in Orlando, there's a place called Soto Squared that does it really well. But then regular, more traditional style pizza, there's a pop-up girl called the Pizza Slut.
Okay.
And the Pizza Slut makes very good pizza. Nice.
Does she make thick or thin, or what kind does she make?
Yeah, thinner, like more standard. She does it in a wood-fired portable oven thing.
And I always find those when you, like, if there's a brewery with like a burger pop-up or like a pizza pop-up, I'm there.
Yeah. That's any the day best. Of the week,
for sure. Do you have any favorite brewery stories, or you have any funny or interesting brewery stories from your time out there?
Yeah. So have some like fun brewery stories, like things I've done with friends. And then I have I guess it's like a brewery adjacent story, but it's a cool story if you want to hear it.
Oh yeah, I'm up for it. Let's do it.
Okay. So first I have to ask, are you familiar with Formula One at all?
Yes.
Okay. So in 2021, we went to the Austin Grand Prix, and then after the Grand Prix was over, I guess they just let all the drivers, go out, do whatever, celebrate. So we had gone into downtown Austin to get barbecue at, it's called Terry Black's. I guess it's like a famous.
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
I've heard of it, yeah.
So the line was really long, and we were like paying our time, waiting in line, getting towards the front. And then I hear like my husband and my sister and her boyfriend at the time were there too. And I hear the two of them going, isn't that so-and-so one of the drivers? Like we see like the guy and like, I guess it was his personal trainer, like getting out of a car. And they're like going back and forth. Like, is that him? Is that not him? So it was Nikita Mazepin. He's no longer a driver currently. He was a Russian driver anyways. So they're like, should we go over and say something? I'm like, don't go like talk to this guy. Like he's obviously trying to be low profile. Like he doesn't want anyone to know, like leave the man alone. So then they're like, well, I don't know. This line's really long. Like, what's he going to do? Like get in the back of the line. And so then my sister's boyfriend's like, I'm going to tell him he can just come join us in line. Cause we're like close to the entrance. We're like, okay, go ahead. So he goes over, he starts talking, the two of them come back, and then they're just like, hey guys, like start chatting with us. And they're like, do you care if we join you like for dinner inside? And of course, we were like, sure, why not, right?
Yeah, of course.
So we get in there and like we order all the food, and then they like when you pick it up, like there's, you know, all the like Austin beers that you can choose from. And yeah. Then they're like turning to like my husband. They're like, what beer is good? And I like interject myself real quick. I'm like, these beers, these are the good ones. So I help them pick out their beer. And then they like paid the whole tab, which was incredibly nice of them. And we literally spent like 2 hours eating, chatting about life, beer, Formula One, just like living in America in general. And it was just like a really cool random experience to have dinner with a Formula One driver.
That's awesome.
Yeah. I was like, so I can say I shared beers with a Formula One driver.
There you go.
Yeah. So that was probably the coolest thing that's happened over a beer, I guess.
And how was the barbecue?
Oh, barbecue was 10-10. It was very good.
Sorry, I totally got you when you were
about. No, you're to good. No, the barbecue was worth the wait. It was good.
That's awesome. And my brother's been there and he said it's just phenomenal barbecue.
Yeah, it was great. And I'm like actually not a huge barbecue person, so the barbecue has to be good in order for me to endorse it.
There you go. And what were some of your other stories?
So I feel like I go on a lot of trips with friends, and at this point they like know like I'm the full-blown beer girl, so they're like happy to go along with any of my antics. Awesome. So I'm always trying to get us to do like some sort of like beer bus brewery tour situation, and I've convinced them to do a few now. So last year we went to Blue Ridge for my birthday, and then we did one of the like brew bus tours up there. But I feel like we're just always getting into shenanigans, like making like stupid TikTok, Instagram videos, like, you know, so yeah. We did one of those, like, this is my first beer, you know, and like everyone goes around drinking the first yeah. beer, and then this is my last beer after like 18 beers later.
And yeah. Everybody's on the floor.
Yeah. So I feel like we always do silly shit like that, or like we do, like field day kind of things like that are like drinking related.
Yeah.
Yeah. So we're just always up to no good, but it's fun.
Yeah. I mean, and that's what, you know, I mean, as long as everybody's, you know, having a good time and, you know, being safe and not driving, we're good.
Yeah, exactly. I'm like, let the beer bus guy drive.
Exactly. I mean, what more do you need? You get to have, you know, get to knock back, you know, 7, 8, 9, 10 beers, and if not more.
Yeah, exactly. There's nothing wrong with that. I'm young. We're allowed.
Exactly. That's what, you know, I want to say it was either episode 2 or 3. I went to San Diego and went with my buddies. We did 5 breweries. I went, like, we had our designated driver, cause she doesn't drink. And, by the time we were done, like we sort of started at, cause I don't know if you've ever had any of the beers from Pure.
No, but okay.
Yeah. If you're ever out here.
Okay.
If you're ever in the San Diego area, you need to, that's the place you need to go.
Okay. I didn't know where you were from in California. So now I know San Diego.
Yeah. Well, I'm actually from LA County, but I get down to San Diego quite a bit.
Okay. Gotcha. Randomly like lived there for 9 months, but like in the Encinitas kind of area. But it was a while ago.
Yeah. Sorry, I had to mute my mic for a second. Yeah, definitely got to go to Pure, but we should have, Pure, they're known for, like, their, you know, doubles, triples. They have, like, everything they put out is really good, but they have doubles, triples, quads, and I ended the night there. And I was like, I should have probably started there.
Oh, no.
Oh, yeah. No, I was walking across, I had a quad, I think it was 14% or something like that, or 13%, I can't remember.
Oh, God, to end the night on that.
Yeah. And that wasn't even the end of the night. It was only like 5 o'clock in the afternoon.
Oh, yeah.
Or in the evening.
Because it was the daytime.
Yeah. And we were going to go out to dinner and do all that sort of stuff. So we went over to Pure. You know, I poured that and we had my little lapel mic. So we were just kind of recording little bits here. And I was recording little bits here and there at each brewery. And at one point, like, I was recording doing a beer review on there. And then I was like, uh-oh. And had nothing to do with their beer, but I totally had to run across the street, yacked.
Oh no.
Yeah. And then came back on. I was like, this isn't, this is in no way because of their beer. This is just strictly because of me. So.
Oh no. They're like, the beer made me throw up.
Yeah. But I have no idea how many I had that day, but it was awesome. So yeah, if you're ever in the San Diego area, definitely go to North Park, Pure, even Bergen, like Bergen's in Carlsbad, about, 30 minutes north of, San Diego. That place is amazing. Like, or do you like hazies at all or anything like that?
Mm-hmm, I do.
Yeah. Yeah. If you like hazies, they make really, really good ones. I'm more or less into like, I still like hazies, but I like a lot of pilsners, lagers and stuff like that or West Coast, anything West Coast, any type of West Coast IPA I'm into as well.
Okay. I feel like I used to like IPAs a lot more, maybe like 3 years ago. And then I feel like if I drink too many of them, it just like do not make me feel good the next day. So if I'm going to drink one, I'll start off with it or like maybe the midway point, but definitely not at the end because I feel like then I'm just like a glutton for punishment. So you have to be careful.
Oh, for sure. I feel like, especially with IPAs, I mean, don't get me wrong, I love them. Like I love like especially a good West Coast IPA, but I also feel like you need to like, you need to kind of pill hole, obviously pace yourself a little bit.
Yeah.
But the kind of like the pilsners and lagers are kind of coming back now. So, I mean, I like those because you can have more of those than you can of the doubles and triples. So.
Yeah, exactly. You could try more that way. So,
Exactly. I don't know if you're a sports fan at all. I was just going to ask, cause I know like how football is big in Florida. I was just wondering if you were a football fan at all.
So I went to the University of Central Florida, UCF.
Okay, go Knights. Nice. There you go.
And then the rest of my family went to FSU. So I'm like the outlier. My husband went to UCF as well, and that's how we met. So
that's awesome.
Yeah. You ever
had some good tailgates down there, I bet.
Yeah, definitely. I, in college, was on the UCF dance team, so I got to, perform during halftime and all that, so it was always fun. But I feel like while I was on the team, I didn't get to do, too much tailgating because I had to go dance. But, I was in a sorority, and I did the, I did the whole thing, so there I got my fun college experience.
Nice. I'm sure there's quite a few keggers out there.
Yes, and it's so funny. We were just talking about this with someone, I think last night or the night before, what was your tailgating kegger filled with? And down here, I feel like a lot of us got Yingling, and I don't think, a lot of other people were drinking Yingling in their kegs. So
yeah,
we were kind of all right, we're doing a little bit better than everybody else.
Yeah, because I would say Yingling's a little more on the higher end. I would assume it was, for a keg.
Exactly.
I feel like a lot of times when I go to tailgates out here for USC or anything like that, it's like they have kegs like Natty Light or something like that. So
yeah, I feel like I don't like Natty Light, but if it wasn't Yingling, it was Bud Light. And then if you were really going to splurge, it was Bud Platinum. And then you thought, wow, this is just the greatest.
Yeah, because it was what was Buzz Bud Platinum? It was 8% or 6%.
Yeah.
Or something like that.
Yeah. So.
Yeah, you got a little buzz a little quicker, so
everybody was a baller that night.
Yeah, it had to be with Bud Light Platinum.
But I think this was also the time where Four Locos were in their height, and Four Locos were just one would obliterate you. So
oh yeah. No, I was talking with a buddy of mine last week, and we were talking about how just New Year's in general, and I was like, man, I remember being a kid and drinking Rockstar and vodkas, and drinking an upper and a downer at the same time is just that sounds like it would just destroy my body now. But when you're 18, 19, you're I can do anything.
I know. I'm fascinated how some of us have survived.
Oh, seriously. It's some of the dumb shit I've done while being inebriated is you don't really know how I still made it or how I'm still around.
You live and you learn. That's life.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, we, you know, we get older, we, you know, mature.
Hopefully.
To a certain extent.
What did you do for New Year's this year?
This year, I was actually good. I just stayed in, had some whiskey, smoked a cigar and with my buddies, and that was about it.
Nice quiet night. And see, you are maturing.
Oh, I mean, I did almost puke at the end of the night.
Oh,
because okay. I had a lot of whiskey. So, I mean, you know, yeah, I don't know, maybe not that much, but I did end up spending the entire like next day, half the day at my brother's because it was too hungover to drive. And then the other, when I was okay after that, then I got home and I spent the rest of the time in bed. So,
well, at least you were responsible about it. So,
yeah, for sure.
There you go. There's some silver lining for you.
Yeah. How was your New Year's?
It was good. We did like a fancy soiree at a meadery.
Nice.
Yeah. So there's a local meadery here called Zymerium. They did like a black and gold themed event, but it was ticketed. So it was totally like open bar. So we tried every single mead that they had, and we tried some really interesting, cool ones. So we enjoyed our night a lot. We went with another beer-stagramming couple. So we had a good time. Yeah.
Isn't it crazy, like, how Instagram, like, when it comes to, like, craft beer, it's just, like, it's so huge on Instagram. Like, I mean, compared to, like, I feel like all the other ones out there. Mm-hmm. But I love the community is so great. Like, you know, like, I reached out to you. I was like, hey, would you ever want to just sit down and talk for, you know, 40 mm-hmm. minutes or something like that?
Yeah.
You know? I love that about the community.
Yeah, and I feel like I haven't had my Instagram too long, like maybe I think I'm coming up on 2 years. So I feel like this last, you know, year, I really like embraced it and tried to like go to more events to like get to know other like beerstagrammers in our community and like put myself out there. And I feel like now I've made a lot of like really great friends through it, like people, you know, mm-hmm. that have shared interests. So it's been really good to me so far and the friendships I've made. So hopefully I can keep growing those relationships and just like organically growing my Instagram. Cause I want to keep it fun. Like, I feel like if you don't keep it fun and it starts feeling like work, then what was the point in doing it in the first place, you know?
Oh yeah. 100%. And that's why it's like, to me, like being able to, like I mentioned earlier about being able to just have these kind of conversations and being able to talk to people, whether they're in the States or they're, you know, another country mm-hmm. or anything like that. To me, that was like, that's the coolest thing because I never met this person before. We've mm-hmm. like, we exchanged what 10 messages maybe, and now we're here talking about beer.
Yeah, it's awesome.
And yeah, it's freaking, it's so like badass to me. And I love, like, even when I talk to brewers and, you know, owners and stuff like that, being able to talk to them, it's like everybody's so like open and willing to like, yeah, let's have a conversation.
Yeah, and I would say, especially in Orlando, like these have been like some of the most inclusive people. Like I haven't had one bad encounter with anyone or somebody who wasn't supportive. I feel like we're all just, you know, there's room for everybody. So I can't say one bad thing about anybody that I've spoken with or met like in person. And it's been really great. And I feel like now I'm like starting to become involved with like the Beer Babes family, and that's kind of how it started last year. I went to like one of their event and I kind of got to meet like everybody IRL, and nice. Now they're coming back again in March, so I'm really excited for that too.
Did you get to meet Rachel?
No, I didn't get to meet Rachel, but I met Roxy. Yeah, Roxy was down here. Yeah,
nice. I had Rachel on the show. When was that? I want to say that was, geez, I'll have to look it up, but I know it was like episode like maybe 16 or 17. She was on the show and we got to talk about, like, you know, because she's so freaking cool being like, you mm-hmm. know, like a beer historian and all that sort of stuff. But she was so nice. And the whole thing that the Beer Babes family does, and that's why I like to talk to, you know, to everybody, but even for like, you know, Pink Boots, I want to get people from them on, or like to talk to female brewers as well.
Yeah.
Just to be able to, you know, get, because, you know, you don't have to be a dude to be a brewer. You
of know, course, you can, right. Yeah. Beer's so, for everybody, duh.
Exactly. So, I mean, that's why, I mean, I love being able to do stuff like that. Being able to, you know, have people tell their stories and talk about how, you know, life, you know, just because, like I said, just because you're a dude doesn't mean you have to be the one running the brewery or anything like that. So anytime, any chance I get, I love to talk to female brewers.
I love that. And it's nice to spotlight women.
Oh, for sure. Well, I mean, I don't want to keep you too long, but I just want to, you know, this has been super fun for me.
Yeah, this has been great. I enjoyed it. And thank you for inviting me to share a beer with you.
Oh, for sure. And if you do, I just found it's episode 16. So if you ever want to listen to that one, she was awesome. Okay. But yeah, this has been really fun. And to tell your husband, thank you for letting me steal you for, you know, about 45 minutes. I will. So we can stay on and chat for a few minutes after, but everybody, don't forget to follow you. And could you give us your Instagram again, Jenna?
Yep, it's at ORL Beer Babe.
Awesome. Well, thanks so much. Well, like I said, we'll stay on and chat, but everybody, stay tuned for the outro.
Cheers.
All right, guys. Well, I hope you guys enjoyed that. Enjoyed the interview with Jenna Milo. Like I said, make sure you follow her. It's ORL. Beer Babe on Instagram. Definitely go check out her content. She makes, you know, she gets good stuff. So always talking about new beers and stuff like that too. All right. Well, hope you guys enjoyed that. And now enjoy the What's New at Noble segment with Cam, Jimmy, and Paul.
All right. And we're back at Noble for another What's New at Noble. Get Jimmy with me, Paul, and then also the other brewer, Cam. Popping his chair today, or maybe I think it's popping your podcast chair.
It's my first one, yeah.
There you go.
First one.
So what's going on, fellas?
A little bit. We've got some new stuff that just came down the pipeline that we're excited about, and some new things we're working on that we're really actually excited about.
By the way, Cam's over here trying to set his drink down as nicely as possible.
Oh, yeah.
He's just like hovering.
You're just not going to talk here at all.
Bam.
Yeah, we're okay to clank him.
Yeah, just slammer. Slammer on down, eh?
No, but we've done some rad stuff, lately. Stuff that I feel like this is kind of the pathway going forward, the mix of seltzers, lagers, and IPAs. I feel like we finally hit the yeast we want on the hazy this time around.
Awesome.
The viscosity's there, that haze is there. The lager we put out is something new that really is just, to me, is kind of, I love it. I think it's great. And the two tiki seltzers we did this time around were collabs with Stowaway. And the head mixologist over there, Dominic, who walked us through them, and we actually kind of create them from scratch. So, I mean, Cam did one of those. I think everybody had a hand in this turn of beers. And
awesome.
I think that was awesome for us.
Yeah.
Just do everything. Everybody has their own little touch on everything. I think this is the right first time, Cam, right? Other than Prince Kamikaze.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, other than all the beers he actually brews. He brews almost all the beers.
But actually making
a seltzer. A Circle K next to all the beers.
Circle K. All right. So what's the first one we're trying?
This is Iconio. This is what we're calling a Peruvian lager.
Okay.
So basically what it is it's... a Mexican lager mixed with a Helles, meaning that we use like the Weyermann malts that you use for a Helles to produce that bready floral flavor, and then probably the same amount of corn as I'd use for a Mexican lager.
Nice.
So you get like the corn in the front, and it just kind of transitions nicely to like the bready floral note of a Helles at the end.
Gotcha. So it's called Pinocchio?
It's called Iconio.
No, I'm just kidding. I'm just kidding.
Hey, it's better than Joss saying Iconio.
Iconio. I'll
be honest. Iconio. Yeah, I
would say like, bro, the tilde's above that end.
Yeah,
man.
I was gonna take it back to when he says, was it Johnny Tsunami? He says, Iconio. I don't know if any of that was a Disney Channel movie reference back in the day. Sorry.
Think so.
Oh, Chris Taylor's sitting in on this one as well.
What's up? You know, I really haven't drank this one a whole awful lot or sampled it. But also, coming off COVID too, really not having smell or taste. So this is actually quite good now that I've got smell and taste back. I really appreciate it.
This is really good.
That's cool.
You know? Yeah, right?
I wanted to get sick.
Months ago.
Snagging a four pack for sure.
No, yeah, we were stoked on that one. And the can's amazing. We really like the can. We were actually asked to do this is built off another beer. We made it just, you know, tried to imitate the recipe. And I think what we came out with was a little different, but I like it. I like the transition between the corn and the maltiness. Like, I think it's really nice. It's like every drink is kind of an experience. It's not just a one flavor, it's two.
It's definitely a two phase.
Yeah.
Like you almost get that breadiness of, you know, a Helles, But then it just like clears, and it's just like, it's all of a sudden, I think you get to mention the corn, maybe like a little bit of aroma, but more flavorful.
Yeah, and I think that for me, the corn hits me up front. Like, okay. I get a big corn punch at the beginning, and then it just kind of transitions to like I'm drinking a Hellas.
Yeah.
So when you drink the corn, you can drink it again, you get the, like, you get this, you know, experience. It's not just a one monotone flavor there, which is nice, because this was kind of, you know, off the cuff whim. Hopefully this tastes right, and it kind of came out right, and I mean, it was just pure luck. It, like, I wasn't aiming for this, but it is what it is. And
no, I mean, you guys killed it,
honestly.
Yeah.
Also, we also needed a crushable beer for kind of, you know.
And this is going to be a perennial. This is going to be a core. We're going to keep making this over and over again, which is solid because it kind of hits both our audiences, you know, like the ones who like Mexican lagers and Modelos and the ones who like Hellas's too. So it's a little bit of something for everybody in this beer, which is cool.
No, that's awesome. You know, you guys did a phenomenal job.
It's also been good pairing with some of our vendors with their barbecue food. It's been really good. We talked with them and one of them came in on a day and we just paired it with it and just went very well.
That's awesome.
Which also helped out with another barbecue. We said, hey, pair this with your food. And so far, it just goes hand in hand with each other.
What do we have? Burnt
pork ends or something like that?
Burnt pork belly burnt ends. It was delicious. It was salt and vinegar. Mike from Salt and Vinegar came around and he gave us...
Vinegar and smoke.
Vinegar and smoke?
Yeah, same
thing. Vinegar and smoke, you keep it right. I can never say
same thing about potato chips?
Thank you. No, he gave us three options. It was rad. He gave us three options to make, and we looked through them, and we kind of settled on the pork belly burnt ends with the fruity note to build back against, you know, kind of this, and it's... What was it? It was the chili, right? He gave us the chili. It was very Chipotle-esque chili. Where you got that, you cut through it, you have the contrast effect where you drink the beer, then you have the chili and it cut through, and so next time you drank the beer, it was like a fresh thing. And the burnt ends is kind of, it was more like a little combination of it. It was sweet, it went with it, but it also gave you kind of smokiness, so it's kind of like a, almost like a sweet, you drank the beer, you get the corn, you get the Hellas, you get the sweetness and the smokiness of the meat. So you just kind of, you did a really good job, it was fun. And then the next day, like Cam was saying, Big Rick, who's like, probably our favorite barbecuer.
Yeah, he's got some great barbecue.
He's amazing, amazing stuff came through, and now we're in talks with him probably the next round of beers to do the same thing we just did with Mike.
Awesome.
For vinegar and smoke, right? Vinegar and smoke?
Vinegar.
Yes.
Vinegar smoke.
There you go.
Yeah. So, no, it's fun. It's good to get our vendors involved, especially when we don't, like, you know, it's not a collaboration-esque. It is a collab, but, like, it's not a collab in the sense of we both have input on the same recipe. We make our own to pair it, and, like, it's easy for us, and it's fun. We like to incorporate our vendors.
And
like
we
that.
Like barbecue. So.
We love barbecue.
Oh, yeah. Can't go wrong with barbecue in your life.
I've got like a 5-pound pork butt defrosted right now.
So there you go. Going to make that tomorrow?
Probably go in at like 1 o'clock tonight.
Nice.
If I don't get too lit.
It happens to be
by like 6, 7 tomorrow.
Yeah.
Always the problem with Paul.
You're going to bust out the Santa suit again?
So I've got a cook shack, you know, probably like a 3-4 foot cook shack, you know, 4 levels. So it's, I can put a number of butts in there.
Okay.
We should do like a little.
When are you going to make this?
We should sous vide it. We should sous vide it and smoke it.
I'm waiting for food right now.
What?
Get out of here with that sous vide nonsense.
Why? Why is that nonsense? I love sous vide. It gives the nicest texture, and you smoke it, and you get that already, like the smoke just builds through the meat.
Yeah, see, I'm all about getting that early smoke on it. And then after that, I mean, you could technically take it out after a few hours and then, you know, put it in something else, some other time.
Same now.
There you go.
We could have a cook-off. Normal cook-off.
Yeah. Bro, I'm down.
I'm totally down.
I mean, I like to cook too, so I might have to jump in and make this a three-way.
Oh, yeah, let's go.
I like to eat, so I'll just eat.
Yeah.
Out the floor.
There you go.
You don't have to always participate.
No, I'll just take care of the food.
All right, should we get the other?
Yeah, let's go grab.
Cam.
We're back.
And
hi.
Hi, Jimmy. So we're just looking at the color of this beer.
Yeah.
And tell me a little bit more about that, Jimmy.
Yeah. That is
cloudy. Oh, it's freaking delicious. I'll tell you that much. Oh, my God.
It's a definition of cloudy. Cheers, fellas.
So what
cheers.
Happened on this one is that, typically when we mill malt, and I swear we did this, we always put our specialty malt in between two base malts when we mill. So we don't have any residual specialty malt in the auger when it goes into the mash tun. On this one, unfortunately, it seemed like there was a chunk of Carafa 3, which is a really, really, really dark malt. But at least it was dehusked.
I think it was after I brewed a dark... beer.
I don't know who did
Tell us the truth.
I did what I was told.
I was going to quote The Exorcist.
And so literally, when you hold it up, the beer looks like it's oxidized. It looks like an oxidized hazy. And we had our mobile canny company come and run tests on it. They just calibrated their $1 million C-Box and said that this guy was 3 ppb, which doesn't, still to this day, does not make sense to me, which is like some of the lowest we've ever gotten on a beer, which is hysterical. Wow. It's so ironic because it looks like it has like 500 ppb, but no.
Right, it looks like.
Yeah.
It was an open ferment hazy. Oh. And
no, but it's, you talk about this beer, Paul. It's yours.
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't know.
Is this your baby, Paul?
Exactly, yeah. It's we've been kind of just working our way, edging our way up in the hazy game again, and, you know, we've kind of built a whole series that are kind of lighter bodied.
Yeah.
And hazy, just for drinkability, we get a lot of game folks here. So, you know, getting something that's superly sweet, cloying, residual sugars, or just, you know, heavy on the palate, doesn't flow, you know, doesn't sell well.
Yeah.
So, this one we were able to bump it up a little bit as far as like the body goes, just by switching to kind of like, you know, I'd say not industry norm, but, you know, one of the big yeasts out there. And what else do we have in there? Caraf, do we have to put Caraf in this one?
Yeah, it was kind of, we did had to use what malts we had.
There was
Pilsner, Caraf, lots of Caraf actually, and it gave it that body, I feel.
Yeah.
I can't remember, we had wheat,
yep.
We had oats.
Lots of oats. And a couple bags of flaked maize.
Oh, that's right. That's the thing you've been doing. You've been throwing flaked maize in these. I like the flavor. It gives it a little bit of that corn flavor. I like that flavor, hasn't it?
Because that's awesome.
I want to say berry kind of note almost for corn, I'd say. That you can really build the passion fruit note from the Nelson really is forward here. Mm-hmm. You don't get that dankness with the Nelson on this one, which I like. You just get straight passion fruit.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so funny story, like he was saying about the auger and the dark malt, you know, having brewed a, was it banana?
Banana.
I think that might have been the last one through. Something.
No. There's another one we were making.
But if the Crawford 3 would have to be.
Well, I don't think we've done anything to it yet.
That Crawford would be with. The malt would have to be from that's the base stout for the banana beer. Would have to be.
So I was mashing in, didn't see anything really abnormality. Second, I get into lauter tun, I start recirking. I'm like, 5 minutes goes by. It usually looks, you know, about like this, you know, pond scum. And you're like, okay, 5 minutes, 10 minutes. And we only, you know, recirc for a short amount of time for hazies because we want to keep a lot of that protein solution and get it over to the kettle and downstream. But it was one of those things I was like recirking. I was like, Jimmy. He's like walking. You know, he's running. Usually when I'm brewing, he's running and doing all sorts of other things, getting, you know,
of course,
horse prep, maybe even, you know, CIP in the tank, all the other action that, you know, makes a good beer.
Yeah.
And I was just sitting there like looking at the sight glass. I'm like, okay. That's kind of like shining the light in the lauter tun, and I'm like, I see little black specks everywhere.
Yeah.
This is dark malt.
Yeah.
So, you know, it is what it is. I mean, we tasted the wort the day of, and it was like, that's really good.
Yeah,
like,
solid.
There's no reason to not let that go through ferment. We had a, you know, fresh pitch of yeast. So if anything, it just gave us the ability to get, you know, get that yeast acclimated to our tanks, prop it up, and now we can reuse it, you know, rebrew it.
Yeah.
Down line. But, you know, we've been seeing a lot of people, you know, cruising around the tasting room with this, and
awesome.
Our next beer you're going to see that comes out, it's actually a seltzer. It's almost 100% black opaque.
Oh.
So the way we figure it is, as long as this one's standing next to that one, that one looks like that.
Yeah.
Goes hand in hand. You know?
Yep. There you go. Yeah, they build on each other.
There it is.
Yeah. I don't know. What else?
So Ella. We did the Ella. We did the Ella. Yeah. We did Nelson. We did a first dry hop of Nelson, a little Nelson. What did we do? Like I said, 4 pounds. We did 4 pounds of Nelson. We did 22 pounds of Ella for the first dry hop, and then we racked over on top of Freestyle's Nelson Hopkeef, which doesn't have that diesel-y white wine vinegar note to it. It's straight passion fruit.
Okay.
Tastes like that's where a lot of the flavor came from. I wish we had more of it to use, honestly.
Yeah, I mean, that's just, it's kind of like that exact, like, really what you're looking for out of hop.
Yeah.
You might hit it, you know, with a good fermentation, you know, a good pitch, but sometimes, you know, it just doesn't always work that way or that lot. And we're not contracted at all, so when we get, you know, something good, we kind of like to run with it.
Yep. Oh, of course.
And that Hopkeef, it's just like, man, this is great stuff. Mm-hmm.
That's awesome.
Yeah, I think it builds on the where the hop itself has that Nelson specifically has that diesel-esque dankness to it that's kind of overwhelming at some people. Yeah. The hop keef just completely just doesn't have that. It just has this beautiful passion fruit note. It's like fruit, and it just permeates. We use, like, gosh, I think one bottle for 15 barrels, which nothing. Like, the bottle's probably, like, what, 8 ounces, if a cup. Like, and it gave it that much flavor, and I think the next time around, we need 2 or 3 of these things in there. Just really go over the top with it, yeah. It's just about us figuring out, I think right now we're at the point where we know what we want to use, how we can use it, what it's going to taste like. Now it's just about dialing in all those aspects of dry hopping our IPAs. And but we know what we can use and what we can rely on. Mm-hmm. Now. And now it's just how much flavor do we want out of those things? Where do we want to put forward? What do we want to get back? How do we want to balance out these different dry hops that we have?
Yeah.
So I think we've finally gotten there, though.
It's tightening the screws, figuring out what you need to do.
Exactly. I mean, we did, I wouldn't say a completely similar beer, different yeast, different grist, everything. The one before, Unhinged, and that was like, I think we ran it with OC Craft Runners, local run club.
Yeah.
You know, jumps around to different breweries, you know, go run a 5K.
Yeah, and they come back here with a Santa suit.
It's basically like, it's in the Santa suit, exactly. No, that was, in the Santa suit was a half marathon.
Yeah, oh, damn.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Might have been a little chafe from that one.
Yeah, I remember you were trying to cool down in the cold box.
Yes.
Best place to go to.
But that one we used, Racal?
Racal, an amazing batch of Racal. It was like those hops that you got, and you felt them, and they just disintegrate in your hand. So you knew.
It's probably the softest pellets we've ever seen.
Yeah. You knew as soon as you put it in, it was just going to, it was to dissolve in solution. All that flavor would come out immediately without any, like, agitation from us.
That's awesome.
Yeah, it was, so, I mean, it was, it's really, like, freestyle is kind of so reliable for us right now that that a lot of the stuff they produce is just kind of, it allows us to be confident in the flavor we're going to pull from the hops they give us. We don't feel like it's guessing it, at least in one aspect. And that's really where we're going right now is kind of the cryo hops, the incognito, consistency in our flavors.
Yeah, incognito for sure.
Yeah, like
I think we actually knocked out on this one on Mosaic incognito.
Yes, we did. We did two, and I like this one. It's bitter. It's nice. It's balanced. Mm-hmm. We did 2 kilos of Mosaic incognito hot. So, like there was a build there, a start to a build. Like the going forward, like I feel like this is probably the best hazy we've done so far in terms of comparing it to other breweries. I think we hit the mark. I think we could just go more. Go more flavor wise. Yeah.
It's never, that's why I love talking to you guys, because it's never like, or brewers in general too, like it's never finished. Like it's never a finished product.
No.
Yeah.
even when it hits, like, if even when we're knocking out, I'm like, I'm going to change this next time.
Yeah.
It's like, it's not even going. Yeah. I'm like, still.
Yeah. Even like the creature from the Merc Lagoon, when I had that one, I was like, holy crap. Like this was, you know, and like this one right up there with it. Like it's, you know, and you feel like. Each time, we got you a 4-pack, right, Chris?
Yeah, people are still asking for that, so.
We might have a can or two that we might need to kind of pit these.
Here, you have a can of creatures somewhere, Paul?
Oh, yeah. I still have pickles at my house, so.
Do you have pickles at your house,
Rick.
Bro?
I pickle Rick away from
I logged them and wait, you know, 3 months, 4 months just to make sure, you know.
Oh, yeah, we need to crack that, see what it tastes like.
There you go.
Because I was incognito cold side. Nobody does that. And that wasn't like I was doing something smart. I just was doing something stupid. Kind of worked.
It happens to the best of us. and then, so, you have 2 new tiki seltzers out, right?
We do.
Yes, we do.
Cam, go get
it's your turn.
No, your seltzer.
Oh, no, I thought we were doing yours or mine first.
No, we're doing mine last because it's the most, like, that spice.
Oh, because yours is better, guys.
Yeah. What he pretty much said was he was saving the hottest guy for last, but I don't know. It's kind of fun.
I'm the final boss.
Right.
All right.
Oh my God.
All right. We're gonna get those beers and we'll be back. All right. We're back. So this tiki seltzer was brewed by Cam.
Mm-hmm.
Tell us all about it.
Yeah. So like we said, this is the collab, as you would say, with Stowaway. Talked with Dom because they have their own Black Sands there, and that's what we were trying to like mimic. Is their their Black Sands cocktail drink over there. So so we kind of just, you know, got all the information. With this drink, you kind of get, we put guava, pineapple, orange, mango, and we put some charcoal in it. And then we got some coconut also in there. To really mix it all in there. and some lime juice.
There you go.
To give it that little bit extra taste. But no, we're really happy with this one. I think out of all the tiki seltzers we've been putting out, these are one of the top ones I've enjoyed making personally. So,
and one thing I want to tell you, it's probably one of the most unique, like the color of it, everything like that that I've seen, and it tastes delicious, man. And I you know what, I don't like guava at all, but I don't even taste it in here.
Oh yeah, when I was pouring the guava, I smelt it and I was like, you tell me I'm putting this with this and it's gonna come out good. Yeah. Oh my gosh, it's got a weird smell.
I think if you like it, then you like it. But if you don't, it tastes. I mean, it smells like throw up. When you have like a beer like that. But this tiki is absolutely phenomenal.
Yeah. No. Like I said, I could pound these down, but they're, you know, they are dangerous, so you got to be a little careful with these.
And they're
so.
Not even, they didn't even taste boozy, so what's the percentage?
Yeah, so I know the percentage is 10%, but you can't tell.
That'll get you there.
And no, you know, Jimmy and I, we hang out at the brewery working all the time, and then we'll feel like, oh, we can't keep doing this. Because they catch up to you, and you just don't know it. Sure. But also, you know, I forgot to mention, we do have charcoal actually in this, so it does give it a black look.
Yeah, and you get those little specks.
Yeah.
Okay. So charcoal is good for you. Did I drop something?
So it's good with skin.
Oh, Jimmy just Jimmy just ruined in the audio.
I'm supposed to measure the cold box. I'm supposed to measure the cold box today.
Is that what you were measuring?
Just passing that under the table.
I'm just building confidence, guys.
Yeah. So classic.
But no, yeah, like you said, the charcoal. Damn it, Jimmy. My bad. Nice. The charcoal. Wow. I'm talking about charcoal now, bro.
This is a family podcast.
I'm
just kidding. I'm
gonna have to pray later, damn it.
Forgive me. Sorry, Mom. Oh.
We have a cinnamon here. Should we actually put a cinnamon here? Yeah. Like,
what?
Cinnamon. Like, a fucking timeout. No?
No. Put a timeout chair?
Yeah.
Oh, there you go. Yeah.
Put him in there.
Put him in the box?
He's gonna be in the box
in 2 minutes.
He's just behind the glass looking at all of us.
I just can't leave.
Yeah. 2 minutes in the box for language.
Uh-huh.
I was trying to think of something else better to say than language, but I got nothing.
Yeah. Like you said, yeah, we do have the charcoal, and it's actually good for you. So
yeah.
I tell people to swish it around their teeth so maybe there teeth will turn white. You just never know.
Yeah.
That's what I do every time I drink it, just
bingo.
In case.
You know? It says it whitens teeth on the bottle. It says it whitens teeth. Yeah. Tomorrow you guys
detox,
will have great bowel movements.
Skin.
Exactly. Good for your liver.
Everyone report back tomorrow about this time.
Yeah.
If you get off the toilet.
Yeah, when you get off the toilet, watch out. It does stuff.
That's a great start to the day. That's all I got to say.
There you go. You got to clean yourself out.
We try to help out in every way. Not just drinking.
Yeah, phenomenal job, though, Cam. This is awesome.
Thank you very much.
Yeah, it's so strange that, like, all those flavors in tiki, like, they exist, but somehow they, like, coexist. Like, you can tell, like, whoever created these sort of things.
Yeah.
The mixologists are multifaceted. They know about spices. They know about, you know, flavors that all go. Because if you've ever looked at, like, you know, a tiki book or some of these ingredients, it's a lot.
Oh, yeah. No, when I first looked at it for a different seltzer that Jimmy wanted me to just go at, which will be coming.
Is that the kamikaze?
The kamikaze. The
kamikaze. Cam's first original recipe.
We talked about it. We have to adjust a little bit more to make it more of a unique taste and a little bit moving away from our other tiki drink, Shark of Skull. It's a little too close for my tasting, but that's next month later on or.
Yeah,
two.
No,
we got a lot of stuff coming already.
Well, I feel like you finally hit the. I think this beer, this seltzer, was one of the ones where I tasted it first, and I got that same taste we have for a lot of ours. That, you know how some like things like have a flavor that pulls through all of them, and it's kind of off-putting to me.
Yeah,
personally, and finally, like when we finally put this one out, the 5 gallon and this one, like the flavor was not that. It was finally got to the point where this differentiated itself. It made the collab like. Awesome in the sense that we bridged beyond what we were, and it's been such a short time, we've done so few, but you know, at the same time, once you start hitting that same palate note over and over again, it gets kind of disappointing to you.
Yeah, because you want something different.
Yeah, and this, I feel like this one was awesome. It worked. This one's beautiful. It was fruit forward. And a lot of ours are fruit forward. I think we're finally getting the moment where we're hitting spice forward.
Yeah. Spices that add so much complexity.
Yeah, so much complexity.
Something I wouldn't even know.
Yeah.
I think just doing it over and over again, like me personally, I know Paul. So all this comes from Paul, who's here, like all his books is really where it comes from. But for me personally, doing it over and over again, not knowing what I'm doing, because like we've managed to actually hit notes, like hit the right flavors. And I'm just sitting in the background, like, I have no idea how this happened, but I'm starting to see the balancing.
We're kind of going into territory we just don't know.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, we're trying to figure it out.
We have great people helping us, like truly helping us to the point where like we're starting to see like, how complex can this get? Like we're seeing, like we're talking about this. We're talking about the body, the body and the texture of these things we're making. Like, cause the one we're in the Drink Jet Pilot is a little bit different texture wise than the rest of them, a little more thinner, a little drier. But also the bitterness notes that we're working, the spice notes that we're working, we're managing like seeing like different like transitions of flavor. They're just kind of like, I mean, cause that's what we're trying to do is create like a transition of flavor. Like we want to go like sweet to bitter to like spice notes.
Yeah.
And the spice notes cover up the alcohol too. So it's awesome.
Yeah. I mean, it tells a story.
Yeah.
Like, it actually, the second you get this in front of, you know, real tiki mixologist, they're going, okay, I can pick up, you know, what would you guys use for anise, you know, and that, like, they can hone in on a very key aspect.
Yeah.
Now, this one doesn't have anise, but the next one will. And it's like, you know, little things like that.
Yeah.
Those are what, you know, I guess we're kind of striving for now. It's kind of like, okay, how can we hit those notes that are kind of like a tiki dweller, you know, anyone who likes to enjoy tiki, it's really neat to like find that harmony.
What's crazy about it, or like you're saying, it's almost like a chef like deconstructing like a recipe, like just off of taste.
Yeah.
And we have to deconstruct to like a different level too, because we don't get to put certain ingredients in beers. Like they don't allow it.
So of
we
course,
have to
be like,
okay, this flavor consists of XYZ.
Yeah.
So we have to come up with XYZ in order to create that without whatever we're not allowed to put in.
Yeah.
So it's kind of fun.
Yeah.
It's getting stressful.
Yeah, did you?
You're playing slightly stressful.
But
you're playing in the sandbox.
But the, like the stress has its like the way we work, like I feel like where we're going, like it gets better and better.
Yeah.
Like it does. And so like it is getting stressful, but that only means is that we've managed to get to a point where people are accepting it. So now we just got it out of a notch, I feel. But I mean, we keep hitting it. So, like, eventually we're not that lucky, but, like, hopefully at that point in time, we've done so many good things that it won't matter.
Yeah.
Like, everyone has a bad day.
How many are we on right now? Like, 6, 7?
You'll have to name all of them
it's
right
like
now.
Drinking, it's like, how many drinks have you had tonight? I don't count, man.
Yeah. It's one of those, like, things, but also, like, you know, as we're seeing it, we've garnered some pretty cool collaborations. I mean, Stowaway's obviously,
Well, I mean,
you know, a really cool one. They're part of Lost Inferno, if you're you know, familiar with that, out of San Clemente. But also the artwork on the cans.
Like, yeah.
I don't think we've really... I think
I know, because I know I wasn't sure what we could talk about when it comes to the can artwork yet.
Yeah, no, the can artwork's fair game. We can't allude to what may be coming down the pipe, but to date, we've worked with Tiki Tony, so if you know, people are out there and they know Tiki Tony, you know, he's been in the tiki game for a long time.
Yeah.
You know, a lot of carved birds and, you know, a lot of things that actually exist over at Club 33.
Yeah.
So, you know, he's big in the industry, and he's done artwork. I have some of his artwork at my house. You know, it's like
that's awesome.
Gifts for the wife or something like that. You know, Christmas. Yeah. You know, just really cool stuff.
Of course.
But, you know, one of our guys, Josh, reached out to him and was like, hey, like, we got some cans, you know. And
Josh has been pushing.
This is Josh. Josh has been amazing.
Josh has been killing it.
Josh has been amazing,
he's reaching
amazing.
Out to a lot of big names. So.
Yeah.
Yeah.
We're getting there, so.
Yeah. We talked about that. Oh, was it a couple weeks ago when I was here? Mm-hmm. We talked about who they have coming down the line. I was like, holy crap. Like, I mean, I won't mention on the show, obviously, but until it comes out. But that's super exciting.
And we have more coming down the line. People who come in and wants to do, who are big names, who want to do it. Even last night, we met someone who really just wanted to kill. He was a big artist who just had a bucket list to want to do a can art.
Oh, awesome.
And so, like, he's coming down on Tuesday to meet with us about possibly doing something. But, like, I mean, honestly, you can make something good, and then it can just sit there and die when it doesn't have the marketing, right?
Oh, of course,
the people making pictures. But as soon as, like, literally, like, you can get decent pictures or like Josh has pulled like the best. Like the mm-hmm. note.
Well, he's tiki. He's
this is amazing to me.
Glassware.
I mean, oh, yeah. For sure. Yeah,
he's a big tiki guy. Dude.
Yeah. Yeah.
If something comes out of Trader Sam's, he's there. Yeah. If something comes out of so he's there. You know, he's got the wall.
Oh, 100%.
Yeah.
Yeah.
and just what he's done, like to make this work, has been amazing.
He puts a lot of work.
I mean, but he's passionate about it. Like I think we're all passionate. More you and him. Than Paul and Josh than anyone here. It's been like the epicenter of why this happened.
It's kind of funny.
Yeah, no, sorry. Go ahead.
I was going to say, it's kind of funny because, I don't know, through COVID and stuff, you know, my garage, I've got like, you know, exposed 2x4s and stuff. And I started, you know, kind of stacking cans I liked, you know.
There was of course.
Kind of a fun one from Monkish that was Western Avenue. And I used to work for Toyota's client for a number of years.
Oh, okay.
For Toyota's ad agency for a number of years. And, you know, Western Avenue was the, you know, headquarters exit. So when I saw that can come out, I was like, oh, that's going up on the wall.
That's awesome.
Now I find myself removing some cans and stuff and putting our stuff up there because, you know, we're working with Tiki Tony. We have the cool cans in town right now.
Yeah. No, they're awesome. And what I was going to say was just that, like, from, like, I mean, I love the Tiki Seltzers from the beginning. But you can see, like, each one just kind of, like, it's going up and up and up and up.
Yeah.
And like I said, like, with this specific one that you did, Cam, it was... Like, I've never seen a color profile like that before. And
like that can, Jimmy has it as his background on his phone. He likes the can so much.
Oh, no, it's awesome. And like you said, that's something unique because I mean, you see the can artwork and it looks awesome. But when you get that pour,
this one.
Yeah,
the Jet Pilot one's amazing too.
When you get that pour, you're like, what is this? And then you take that first sip and you're like, holy shit, my dick fell off.
Yeah, yeah, people look at it and they're like...
I don't think we want to be telling people their dick
fell off. Don't tell them that.
Okay. It's the charcoal. Oh, no. I'm just kidding.
No, the people look at the color and they do kind of like... What the? Bug-eyed, like, sure? I'm like, taste it, and then we'll see if you buy a pint.
Yeah.
I think like the first, you know, of the seltzers that, you know, that were done here was, you know, Jimmy doing Watch Me Whip, which, you know, if you know anything about
Banger,
House of the Mouse and, you know, where we are, that is hand in hand with the demographic around here. And we were really surprised, you know, how many people influencer stuff started showing up and they're like, can I get that Dole Whip? And we're like, we're not marketing it as a Dole Whip. It is a pineapple coconut seltzer.
Yeah.
That was it. But it's got body. It's got this creamy character to it. And
definitely.
People started showing up for it.
The goal was to hit that note.
Yeah.
That was the target there.
Yeah.
But it was like, we have so many people in here that are like, seltzers, they're not their thing. They're like, they try all these other seltzers that are out there. And they say like, it's not flavorful, it's just a little bit. But then we just go up to them, just give them a little sample. That's all we have to do.
Yeah.
What are they doing now? They come to us and get 4 packs and go home.
Like, exactly.
Oh, no, it's for the person back at home. You're sure drinking it is, that. Bro. Don't you lie to me.
They're going to drink 3 on the flight. And then, they're going to deliver 1 can.
Yeah. No doubt.
There you go.
Oh, man, that's awesome. So we have, what's the next one? Jet Pilot?
Jet Pilot. Am I going to get Jet Pilot?
Yeah.
Brave the Storm?
We'll be back.
Do we have any?
All right. We got another one here. Was this the Tiki Seltzer and this is a Jet Pilot?
This is a Jet Pilot. This is the last one. This is so when Dominic over at Stowaway walked us through this recipe, this version, this Jet Pilot is a lot of Tiki Seltzers and a lot of spice for it. So for this one, we actually, instead of going and buying all the mixers, like in a bottle, we actually made them ourselves.
Oh, awesome.
So this one's got our grenadine, our cinnamon syrup, and our demerara. We couldn't do falernum, simply because it is a complicated one. We'll get to it. But it is cloves. Like, what else? It's cloves. I'm trying to think of the other part of their ginger. Ginger really comes through in the falernum. But so this is for us. This is kind of a new take, a new version of the tiki seltzer we've been doing. And me and Paul were talking about this the other night in terms of. Like, all the ones we've done have a certain viscosity to them, right? Like, a certain haze, a certain density. This one is drier, and everybody who was there that night drinking it with us liked the fact that it was a little bit different. It's drier, it's spice-forward. Yeah. You get the anise balanced against the ginger, the clove, and the cinnamon, with a little grapefruit in there, a little lime. But truly, this is more of a spice-forward seltzer. I think this is kind of the first time we've done one of these, and
definitely a unique one out of all.
I was just gonna say that. Yeah,
I think this take on the tiki seltzer is way different than anything we've been doing so far. I think that with the Black Sands, the first time we actually hit a fruit note that differentiated itself from the actual tiki seltzers we've been doing with the Dole mixes, to the point where that I like it so much more. And this one kind of contrasted with it, which is why it's last, because once you drink this, like everything you drink afterwards, you just get the spices just mm-hmm. overwhelm your palate to the point where everything tastes a little bit different afterwards.
Yeah, because I'm still getting those spices there, but like off the nose. Like, so my grandma's from, my mom's side is from Hawaii. Like, so like we grew up like her making like almost like her version of a teriyaki kind of chicken. But it wasn't like exactly like it was, but it was anise or star, what we call it, star spice, pineapple, soy sauce, and sugar. And that's it. But I definitely get that anise off the nose. Like it just pops. And so it honestly brought me back to my childhood just smelling it. I don't know if you guys noticed, but I know I smelled it like 4 or 5 times before I took a drink of it. Cause I was like, what's this reminding me of? I was like, oh, grandma.
If you just want us to like, everyone close their eyes.
Yeah.
Just, flash back to the island times.
Yeah, there you go. But you
should have told me to bring my ukulele. I could have got it, bro.
There it is.
New time. Yeah. The room that we're in right now is completely white.
We are
looking at nothing but white drywall freshly put up all around us.
When I walked in, I was like, what happened to the barrels?
the barrels, we just moved over. Yeah. Well, they moved over. But the idea is that this is eventually going to become a tiki room of sorts. So.
Sooner or later, hopefully.
It probably might be, if it's a tiki room, it's going to be like a social media room. People are going to come in here and take photos.
Oh, yeah.
With the cans and everything.
Yeah. And going back to what you guys were talking about, how like the differentiating like the different, like you don't want every tiki seltzer to taste the same.
No.
And you can have two completely different ones from the Jet Pilot to the Black Sands, and they're both phenomenal. They both have unique flavors, and you're not getting that same same thing.
Mm-hmm.
And it's just like, to me, like when you have something like that, especially with that one, with the the charcoal, the guava. Like I said, I'm not a guava guy. This was always an anti-guava podcast.
Good.
But this, like, you don't even taste it.
Yeah.
And it's freaking delicious. And then you have this one where you're getting those spices that just pop, and you're getting different ones at different times during the drink, after the drink, and then even just now. I'm still feeling like I'm still
dry. It's a dry flavor, it's a dry palate, but the flavor's not gone. It's
100%
changing and it's happening. But that's what makes this one so drinkable, I think. Like this is one I think you could, like, you personally could just put down a can by yourself and not
Yeah, I agree, man. I think this is one of those ones that's kind of unique. It's different. It kind of, kind of building on the Painkiller we did. Your Painkiller. It really is. Like, Painkiller was the first one that was really spice forward, I'd say.
Yeah.
It was good. It was delicious. I remember when you first made it, we couldn't stop drinking it. It was so good. And this is kind of just in that same vein. I feel like the Painkiller will come back, but like the spice note, but eventually we're going to incorporate the bitters into these.
Mm-hmm.
Which is kind of our next step. So, like, you got the bitter, you got the bitters that bring that bitterness note to it. This one actually has grapefruit in it. It kind of gives the bitterness, not too much.
Oh, not like, do you get that? Like, you do get like a dry finish on the end, but it's like, I love that. Like, if there's somebody makes a brute IPA, I'm like, take my money.
No, I get it, man. Yeah. We get a hard hop that hits too hard normally, like Nelson does sometimes.
Yeah.
But you get it in a really, really dry brute where it's like a punchy flavor where it hits you and goes away and you have another sip. It doesn't linger.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, no. I feel like that's kind of what this is. It doesn't overwhelm you.
No, this is delicious, man. You guys are, like I said, from the beginning, to, like I said, I loved those back then. I remember that was back in like June, July, when I would come over and hang out and you would pour me stuff out of the tank.
Oh, you were here before those days too, man.
Oh, before that too.
All go down.
But I mean, like, just but from ride. Like and we've talked about like how you. Oh, what I always want to talk about with you guys, especially with stuff like this, like it's like nobody else is doing this. I mean, you guys are like in like Cameron mentioned earlier, like it you get that word of mouth, but you also like those Disney heads too, like because anything tiki, because of the Enchanted something room over there.
Yeah.
You get stuff like that and it just draws people in. Like even like the Harry Potter one. Like I'm sure I know that flew off the shelves.
Oh yeah. That
yeah.
Yeah. We got to remake that.
We did find a sixth of it actually.
So. Yeah. We found a sixth just lying around.
I found a sixth hole. It'll be on for a little bit.
We can put it on the party tap in the cold box right now.
Oh, beautiful. I like that beer.
There you go. But like what you guys are doing and like, from when we recorded that first episode in March, and I'm sure people will probably tell me, like, Mike, you sound like a broken record, but it's true though with you guys. Like, I mean, I like, you guys are like family, and like, I love coming down and just seeing everything you guys are doing, and it's just, you see it just like the uptick, like everything just keeps on getting better and better each time.
Thank you.
Yeah. Well, we got a lot coming down the line, so that's the good part. Got a lot of different, hopefully different styles.
No, we do.
We do have a lot of different styles, and I'm hoping they do actually come out as different styles. That's what I'm saying.
No, we're simplifying some stuff, doing some stuff that's not quite tiki coming forward. I think right now, so between the three of us, we have the Zombie coming out on the first, I believe, right?
That's going to be.
Which we're all kind of like, after this, we're going to have a meeting about it to write the initial recipe for the small R&D batch of it, because it matters so much to us. And then on top of that, we have like for Valentine's Day doing the Flamingo, which is like, really, we're just going to try to recreate Pink Lemonade from
In-N-Out.
Oh, nice.
Yeah,
nice.
I think that's really our goal there, is to just recreate that one. So we have some roads towards getting the products we need, the ingredients we need for that. So, but on top of that, I mean, we're having another Tigers Are Awesome to build on Jurassic.
Yeah. Oh, I love that.
I think we're gonna just do like a little series of that for a while.
Yeah.
And then I think we're just doing a routine thing going forward. Every 2 weeks, one's gonna be a West Coast, the next one's gonna be a Hazy. Me and Paul will just play off each other.
That's awesome.
Incorporate what we've got and try to build on that. I mean, so going forward, we got a path, which is nice, especially with the tap room right now, breaking down the walls, getting it really clean for once.
Yeah.
Like, everything seems like it's going hand in hand.
It's coming together, really.
Yeah.
It's hard to see past, you know, kind of what comes out of tanks sometimes. You know, Jimmy's got his job here. I've got my job. Cam's got his. It's like every once in a while, it's very hard to take off your blinders and look around. It's like, okay.
Yeah, because you get tunnel vision sometimes.
Yeah, as a guest comes in, what do they see? So, you know, we're talking to front of house staff. How can we, you know, make things look better, more appealing? Mm-hmm. That's kind of like where this wall came, you know, this room came from.
Make it more aesthetically pleasing.
Yeah, stuff like that. You know, silly things, but you can kind of get a work pregame place for.
But dude, it's those little
Angels,
things.
Monster Jam.
Yeah. Concerts. Motocross, yeah. Everything.
Honda Center for Ducks game. Yeah, yeah, any concerts. Some people come here for concerts.
Oh, yeah. We're in the Grove. What do they call that over there? Is it the Grove?
Yeah, the Grove.
Yeah,
there's a lot over there. I feel like this place has looked.
It's kind of overlooked by a lot of people from out of town because they don't know we're here.
We are kind of a little.
And there's nothing you come in here and the ambience hasn't given you much to talk about afterwards. Yeah.
We
you
don't
know,
have like a grammable wall. We don't have angel wings.
Yeah.
You know, we don't have, you know, the typical. Well,
we're trying to change stuff too.
Oh no, and that's the thing. It's about growth. But like, even just like, I remember the first time I came, there weren't all the TVs everywhere. Like, all that. Like, that was when I came back in March, I think it was. Like, from where you guys, like I said, even from then, like, the beers were great, but like, it just kept on, like, everything, like, it's not just the beers, it was, you know, because when you come down, you want to hang out, you want to, you know, knock back a few or 10, drink responsibly.
Who's counting here?
We can get there by puck drop.
Yeah.
And then there's, hey, we already missed puck drop, why don't we just show up for the second period?
Yeah.
And, you know, we can drink two more beers for the price of one.
Yeah. Oh, definitely.
Watching a game, and you're spending $13, $14 on a tall can.
Oh,
it's gone up now.
Sure, it's like how long that tall can's been somewhere under the stadium or in.
Well, I mean, I think about it when I go to Dodger games. It's like, for one, I think it's like $16.50.
Oh, now it's going to be like $30.
Yeah. They're raising it.
It's going to be like $45. Now,
yeah. $45 a beer.
And that's probably the worst part about working at a brewery that's close to a stadium or a rink. Like, maybe you just probably wouldn't notice it. You're, you know, probably having, you know, some pregame beers at your house, but like, having fresh, clean beer near the stadium, and then you go to the stadium sometimes and you get their beer and you're like,
it's good beer. Yeah, it's not the same.
But it's just not cared for. Yeah. You know, it's unfortunate.
Sometimes
it happens.
When it comes to like mass producing stuff, I feel like you lose a little bit of that love and kind of care to it. But when you can put together something that's just, you know.
Jimmy's thinking. He's thinking out loud.
He's got serious,
I to comment on that point you just made is in terms of, I think it really depends upon the efficiencies you put in place in the ops. I feel like that's the cool thing about this, the seltzers at least, the very least, is the seltzers create a kind of a bridge for us to continue to work just the way we are, only in 120 barrel tanks for this.
Yeah.
Meaning that I think that care and that love for the beers isn't going to go away because we do not really have to add that much manpower here.
Yeah.
Like, so I think that's always a thing, the differentiating point with once you scale up, things get worse, is usually what happens when a whole team comes in and takes over. They have no idea what, like, yeah, they're just recreating a recipe that's literally just dialed into their brain, but they really don't have any idea of exactly what they're trying to create. So there are certain points in the process that, like, us would recognize.
Well, when we taste failure, or maybe not failure, but
difference, not consistency, right?
Of course.
So, like, I don't feel like right now that we have a need. I mean, I think if we hire people, we already have people that want to come on board that we already have worked with that we love coming back. So I feel like going forward, like, we're kind of dialed in the sense of employ, like, back in house.
Right now, like, we've got capacity to do these the ability to do these large tanks.
Oh yeah,
but a lot of these tikis we're doing at five barrels.
We're doing five barrels.
We're doing intimate settings to kind of not see what just sticks to the wall, because everything's sticking to the wall and people are really loving it. But I think it's just, you know, a matter of expression. We want to we want to kind of dominate this territory.
Kind of show what we can do and stuff.
Oh,
so.
No doubt.
But I think going forward, I feel like we've hit the mark. Like, going forward, like, at least for the zombie, we're going to do way more.
Yeah.
So we're starting to scale that up.
Yeah.
But, like, I think the scaling process is not any more time-consuming at all. I think it's the same time.
Yeah.
Like, time, that's the best thing about this, is literally we're going to go to 15 barrels instead of 5. It's going to take us, when we did the pineapple last time, we would watch me whip. It took us, we started at 11 o'clock in the morning, and we finished it by 8 p.m.
Wow.
In one day. That was it. Like, so for us, like, the time saved compared to, like, a beer, we build these against the beers, and these are cheaper to make. They give you the revenue to make the nicer.
That's
like,
a little bit more fun too.
Yeah, 100% more
fun. Oh, for sure.
Fun, yeah.
I mean, that's what, like.
A little,
but
like,
all the ingredients get better on the other. On the beer side, the ingredients get better. So we can be more choosy. We don't have to, like, no longer do we have to truly, like, just take what we're given. We can go out and we know what we're getting now.
Yeah.
Which is nice for us personally. I think that comes through in Chaotic and Giraffes last time. Like, the flavors we're hitting are the flavors closer to the flavors we intended to hit when we started this whole thing, right?
And so, like you were saying, like when it came to, like, the, you know, either upscaling or anything like that, I just feel like that you, when you have that uniqueness to you, or that kind of, like, how much you care about, like, what's going into that tank. Like, when you care about, like, you know, like, throwing some charcoal in, or you care about, like, when, you know, when you can lose that, like, when you mass produce things. But what you guys are doing with all of this stuff, and, you know, I know I'm not trying to, like, you know, harp, you know, like, I was gonna say really something really bad, but I'm
just say it, man. Yeah. Just say it. You can cut it out.
I was like, I'm not trying to, nah, I would leave it in.
This is your show,
yeah,
bro.
So I'm not trying to, you know,
I'm not trying to tell you.
Yes.
Not to go too much into the zombie thing, but like, the zombie is actually, we're doing that for a big artist. He's the one who asked us. So
that's
one of the next
awesome,
big artists that's coming up, and we're doing it for him. And we're actually we're really excited to do the zombie. It's one of my favorite drinks.
I'm excited
drinks
to try it.
At
you just
Stola.
Like the lights, dude. You just like those lights that come with the drink. That's all you like.
Yes, love I it. Do. It's a nice cup, too. It's like a fish, dude.
By the end of the night, he's got like 3 or 4 hanging off him. Like,
there you
these
go.
Little like lantern fish lights. They're just like off both his boobs.
Runner blue. Well,
eventually goes down to his crotch.
There it is.
Know? You got like a Christmas tree sitting across.
Someone has to be the life of party. I'm just
right?
saying.
That's
it. I choose to be the light.
Yeah.
I didn't sign up for this.
I'm not the Northern Light, but like, I'm close.
Hey, to quote who is Credence? Credence? As long as I can see. No, is it Credence? Credence sings "As Long as I Can See the Light." I'm pretty sure it's Credence. So yeah, whatever. All right. Well, thanks, guys.
With that note,
I'm pretty sure it's Credence. I don't think it's Bob. Wait, is it Seeger? Oh, hold on, we're gonna fact check that real
quick. We're gonna fact check right now.
Someone's gonna fact check me. They're gonna be like,
"We're not ending this until you fact check yourself."
Yeah, someone's gonna be like, "You're stupid." Like, I can't believe you said that wrong. Let's see, as long as I can see the that is Credence. Yeah, as long as I can see the light. And if I had the rights to their music, I would play that at the end of this episode. But I do not. So.
Don't you get like 30 seconds, like 5 seconds or something before it becomes a copyright issue?
Oh, but I don't know. I might have to look
into
that.
You might have
five
seconds of fun, man.
Because
it's the most recognizable part of the song, you know?
Yeah. If I could have any song ever, it'd be, I don't know if you guys ever played Vice City, GTA Vice City.
Yep. Oh, no.
Well, and it was,
Oh my God! I'm gonna keep
pull out the phone again. Pull out that phone.
Yeah.
You pull out the phone. I'm gonna keep watching this football.
Yeah,
game. There we go.
It's a good game.
Yeah, during this whole entire podcast,
Vice City football. Radio. Here we go.
You can't do it wrong.
This is an amazing podcast. The best one.
Oh yeah, this is a great one. What the
fuck? Got playoffs going on.
Yeah.
And I know I can hear the song like in my watching, head, but like, I can't think of it.
We're both rooting for different teams right now. So
he says like, yeah.
Whoa.
He's like, I failed school because I'm hardcore.
I should have been doing this.
Oh, it's beginning. Love. Oh, I remember now. There we go.
No, every podcast I'll be here now.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Love Fist. It's called Love Fist. And it's called Fist Fury. If we get 5 seconds. All right, I'm going to have to cut it off there.
Yeah.
Oh, and it's still going. Got to cut it. All right.
Just remember, you got one C&D, bro. One C&D, man.
All right. Well, thanks for being on. I'm going to play this song after we finish up. But thanks again, guys. Paul had to walk away.
We really appreciate it.
Paul's back was given out on him.
Oh, it's all good.
He had to get his walker.
It's all good.
We'll get the wheelchair after for him.
All right. Well, yeah, so hey, we'll come back. I'll come back in a couple weeks. We'll talk about Zombie.
Sounds good, man. Hey, man. We're excited for that one. We're going to fucking fail so bad, probably.
No. As long as we don't drink too much.
There it happens. Oh, God. All right. Cheers, Tap Fam. Stay tuned for the outro.
All right, guys. I hope you guys enjoyed that. Like I said, it's always a blast hanging out with the guys. Cam was awesome. First time. Jimmy was awesome. Obviously, Paul, like we had a great time. We were just missing Josh, but you know, maybe on the next one, he'll be on there. All four of us. I mean, all five of us. But yeah, so next week is episode 50. There will be no interview. It'll just be me. Going to be just talking about the show, what it's been like through the 50 episodes. And obviously doing beer reviews, all that sort of stuff. So that should be pretty fun. I always like doing that and being able to, you know, to thank, you know, go through each one, you know, from episode 26 all the way to, you know, to now, to be able to thank everybody that's been on the show. All right. Well, after that, I have Ren House will be the week after. So that'll be 51. I'm going to be recording 3 this week, I believe. It'll be like one with La Bodega, Native Son, and also Mike Crea. So that will be episode 52. I'm looking forward to that one because Mike was on episode 1 and being able to go back 1 year later and hang out with him and have some beers. That should be really fun. And actually, Jimmy from Noble is going to be on that episode as well. So, all right. Well, hope you guys enjoyed this week's episode. I got to go pick up some beers, probably have a couple beers, watch a little football. You know it. All right. Well, twinkle, twinkle, baby. Have a good week. Take care, Tap Fam.